Blog Talk Radio. Everyone, welcome to the Judy Joy Jones Show. I'm so glad you're here tonight. I would like to give a shout out to Frank Mills, the composer of Music Box Dancer. He has given us permission to use this as the theme song of the show, and I really, really appreciate it. I love Music Box Dancer, and I hope you like it too. I would also like to give a shout-out and a big thanks to Blog Talk Radio. I'm just amazed that they are uniting the whole world, making it for everyone's benefit for us to just talk to each other, share our gifts, and they're just really great. Thank you. My talk show host tonight is going to be Real Knowledge, and he was on the line. I don't know what happened, but I will bring him on as soon as he comes back. He actually has his own show, his own blog talk radio show, and he's just delightful. I heard his show, and I called him and asked him if he would like to be my co-host. So let me bring him on if he's here now. Let me try. Hello.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey, how are you?
Fine.
How's everything going?
It's going great, just kind of going along. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Kind of was relaxing today. Didn't go to work today. Wasn't feeling all too good today, but I'm feeling a little bit better now. I got a chance to read up on your website about your book and to listen in on the show that you had with Ray Charles bass player on it, and I was like, wow, that was a really good show. And I was like, I was listening to bits and pieces of it, and
uh-huh.
I was really amazed at what was going on, and you were able to have him on the show. I was like, man, I was like, pop toes, you get you. I was like, and I said the same thing. Blog Talk Radio has done a lot to get people connected and get people noticed around, because things like that, you wouldn't even imagine stuff like that actually happening nowadays.
It's just like magic, isn't it? Could I ask you if you can really plaster your mouth right on that phone? For some reason, I'm having difficulty hearing guests. My voice is actually too loud. But coming from your end, it seems like if you put your mouth right onto that phone, like you're going to, you know, but it will work.
Hold on one second.
All right. Yeah, I'm really excited that, you know, to have another Block Talk radio host, because he knows what it's like back here. And I really enjoyed his show. I think. Didn't you have a show last night?
Yeah, I had one last night. It was the Speak On It Live. It was episode number 9. It was our Thursday throwdown. So it was like, it was more of my listeners calling in, and more of me not just really just giving them topics, more of them giving me the topics, and I was giving my opinion and advice about what was going on and everything. So it was a pretty good show last night.
Well, do you? How long have you been doing Blog Talk? Do you go by Real Knowledge, or do you have another?
Well, that's what when it came up. That's what the link shows. Usually when I'm on air, I go by my first name, which is Darrell.
Darrell?
Darrell.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't been doing it long. I've been doing it for about maybe a week. Almost 2 now.
Oh my gosh, you're brand new.
Yes, and it's becoming a popular show, but it's a very good show. So I enjoy to be online to be able to promote myself and other people on there, so that's why I'm was super excited when you asked me to do your show. I was like, oh my God. And I was like, is she serious? I was like, I don't know what to say. I was like, do I actually really do this? And everyone was like, go do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to go do it. I said, because I'm really excited. I would say somebody actually asked me to be on their show other than sitting here listening to me on my own show. So I was pretty excited to come do it.
Yeah, you have a really relaxed, fun kind of way about you. And I just felt like you were just like, have an open heart and an open mind. And I thought, gee, you know, he might like to be on my show. And that way, you know, we could kind of share stuff with everybody. And I'm just so glad you said yes. You just kind of jumped out there.
But everything is good. And I'm like, everything is like the picture that you have up. It's like, it's very artsy and it's different. When I looked at it, I was like, it looks like a painting, but it looks like a real picture. So when I saw it, I was like, I need to ask her about that. I was like, but picture is very nice. I like it. It has this artistic kind of old feel to it, but it's very humble. I really like it.
Oh, thank you. I had a photographer. She had a notice on Craigslist that she would do like photographs for $50, and she came to my house. She was the nicest person. And so I just played dress up, and she just had a good time, and I had a good time. And, yeah, to me, I'm looking at a portrait of whoever, but because I thought it was just kind of nicely done, you know, the way she did it. And that's why I used it. I don't really feel connected to it. I don't look that way. But, I mean, you know, for me, it's like beauty is nice, you know, to have something just like a portrait to look at. And so thank you for noticing that. Are you what is your main thing besides just being a natural for the radio, I think?
My main thing for the radio is just to be open and honest with everybody about what's going on, because there are a lot of things that are going on in the news nowadays that people tend not to hear. And it's like, just because we hear the major things, you know, there are other things that are going on too, and we need to know about those things too. Like a recent subject matter that I spoke on about a family who's fighting the army against his mother is fighting the army because her son, she knows her son is a casualty of war because he suffered an injury in war and ended up dying from it later on. He didn't officially just die on the battlefield, so they don't want to consider him a casualty of war because the injuries he sustained didn't cause him to die exactly on the battlefield, which I felt was really wrong, and everybody agreed with me upon that. And I was like, you know what, that's kind of awful for the Army not to recognize that he was injured on the battlefield, but yet those injuries caused him to pass away later on from trying to fight those injuries and get better.
Oh, wow, yeah, and for them not to recognize after what he did, he just gave his life, right? I mean.
Right. It was like he was out there fighting for his country, and I was like, they don't want to recognize him as a casualty of war. And then from what was told is that he's not the only one they're doing like that. There are several others. It's just this one just became the mainstream one and became out there. So I was like, it's just really awful.
Yeah, those are the kind of things that it's great that we have the opportunity, you know, to share them because they're on everybody's mind. And no, we don't want to think about them. We'd like to go to the show or listen to music. But sometimes it's kind of in your face and you really need to deal with it. And especially suffering like the veterans are coming back. And if we're not putting it out for them, who is, you know? So I'm all for that. And the families, you know, I just can't even imagine what that would be like, you know, to have a son or something, a daughter go away. And how old are you, by the way?
Me? I'm 21.
21?
21, yes, ma'am.
Wow. That's incredible. There's a little bit of difference between, but you know, you seem like you're older somehow, you know. It's like, that's what I picked up. Like, you kind of are ageless. You didn't have an age. That's a nice trait to me, not to, it's like you knew a little more, and I think you have a lot to give.
Well,
yeah, I, you know, that's kind of how I felt about this book I did. The only reason I did it was because I kept seeing so many people without a home, and it just kept opening my heart. You know, I'd seen it for so long, and I felt like they were the voices that they didn't have. They were silenced, and I thought, well, you know, I'm a writer, or I'm a, you know, whatever, a photographer, so I thought, well, I could be a voice maybe. And actually, you know, I'm, you know, it was just like the veterans you're talking about. It was just something that came through me, and I'm really glad that I went ahead and found a camera somewhere. I'm not a photographer, actually, technically, but I just had this great love. I wanted so much to, I still do, to get everyone a home, and that's part of what I'm trying to do is just open hearts. You know, to reaching out to the people that really can't do anything for themselves.
Understandable. And I was looking at some of the pictures and reading over some of the inserts and what some of the people were saying about your book. And I was like, oh my God! I was like, and I went to Barnes and Noble myself a little while ago to check it out and see if they had the book. And somebody actually did have the book, and they were reading it. And I was like, yeah, I know her. I was like, that's a host of mine that's on Blog Talk Radio. I was like, oh, really? I was like, yeah, you have to check out the show tonight. It was like, she's going to be talking about the book. I was like, and I gave them the link in so they can come check out the show. And I was looking over the book with them and how everything was going. And like, the pictures, the way you took the pictures, some of the pictures was just like, it just made you just feel it. You was just looking at the pictures and be like, oh my God, how can people go through this?
And the people that, I only took 10 in my life. I actually lost the camera, but the people that I went up to, you know, they were just like, it was just like this total open heart love thing. I poured love into them, they poured love into me. I don't know what happened at that moment, but they just wanted to give. And I wasn't afraid, they weren't afraid, and I had no ulterior motives. I didn't know, you know, anything about a book or anything like that. And they were just so, like, open and giving and giving. And, you know, they were giving a lot more than me, actually. And I'm really forever grateful. We do things in life kind of like you go along and then all of a sudden you're just drawn into something. Like you're talking about the veterans. I think that is a tremendous thing to keep opening minds to, because as more and more come back and they need help, and they especially need to know that we care, and that needs to be brought out a lot. That's a good subject to bring out, because
I had just the weirdest dream the other day. It was like me and some other people. I couldn't even remember those people's names or their faces. It was like me and a couple other people were committed by the president at the time. And I could tell you, it was just recently, like a year later from now. And it's like I was committed by the president, me and like 5 other people, and we organized this big, huge countrywide event that everybody attended for when the soldiers came back home, and we just showed our appreciation as far as we had concerts and had this big, huge feast for everybody. And I was I was like, you know what? I was like, somebody out there in the high ups need to do something like that, to be perfectly honest, because that right there would be the icing on the cake when the soldiers come back home, because we have so many over there is that they're still talking about trying to send some more back over there. I was like, you know, ain't no use to send no more back over there. We've already reached 4,000 people gone. I was like, any more than 4, it's just enough.
That's enough. Yeah, let's call it quits with that. I mean, there is a fellow, I don't know if you ever heard of him. His name is Danion Brinkley. He actually was struck by lightning, and he went to the other side. He died. But his whole purpose in life, one of his main goals, is compassion in action. And he sits by the side of veterans that have nobody, and he helps them cross over. And he has sat by the bedside of so many. But this guy, you know, it's almost like he's just begging us to get out there and help and let them know they're loved. And he's so sincere. He was in the war himself, and he said he was just really a mean person. He was mean. And so now that he went to the other side and he kind of was filled with light, and now he's just all love. But that's his whole thing. He calls it CIA, Compassion in Action.
All right.
Yeah, he's a sweetie, but he tells you right off that he wasn't, but he's really the meanest person you've ever met. He said, no, I'm not nice.
Well, that's a good thing for him to, you know, just to finally see reality and see what's going on, because there's, like I said, there's so much going on with that, because I've lost two friends to the war.
Have you?
Yes, and it's just, you know, and the more I think about it, the more I see more articles about what's going on over there, it kind of just, it makes me kind of feel sick to my stomach, because I was like, man, you know, it's so much going on, and then a lot of children are just wanting to see their fathers for their birthdays and things like that, and those type of wishes have been fulfilled before. You know, I just want to do something like that. I feel like I said, we should do a big nationwide event for Christmas or for children's birthday or something like this. So when the soldiers come back home, these kids can see their fathers, their brothers, sisters, everybody. And it was just, and this right here would be just something everybody would need. It really would just calm this whole entire country down.
It would. I would love to be a part of that and get musicians and, you know, people and different poets and so forth to be a part of that, because I would just be honored to welcome home, and with no judgment of anything, just that we love them and, you know, we care that they went over there. I just think that's a great idea. It sounds like something that would really enlist the attention of a lot of artists, especially musicians and stuff. I wonder what you'd call it.
Well, I really don't know, because I really would, if I had to organize it myself, I really wouldn't want to call it Welcome Back. I would I wouldn't know really what to call it, because, to be perfectly honest, that is a big, huge event, and it's just like, you know, it's hard to come up with a name for something like that, because it's so vast, it incorporates so much birthdays and homecoming and, you know, family reunion and so much. It's just hard to come up with a name for that.
Well, yeah, and it'll happen. You know, somebody will come up with the name, and I'm sure there would be a lot of music written for that, because it's just such a heart thing. And, you know, you think about it, if you were over there and you were coming back, the last thing you want is anything negative, right? You want some open arms and a lot of love pouring out there.
Maybe a home-cooked meal and just everybody saying, hey, how you doing, or getting everybody to give me hugs and everything.
Exactly. That's exactly the thing, you know. How did you get started? I'm just kind of wanting to know, you know, like, how did you decide to do radio? Had you done some more radio shows or something in college or high school or whatever?
To be perfectly honest, I have never done radio shows before, but a lot of my friends find me to be a very influential person, because sometimes when they need advice or they want to ask me about anything, they'll call me, and my phone is always on. They know I usually get up and talk to them and see how everything is doing, and I'm like, you know, what's going on. And it's like, well, you need, and somebody mentioned it. It's like, you need to get on Blog Talk Radio. I was like, what's Blog Talk Radio? So I went on there and checked it out and see what Blog Talk Radio was all about. And I finally joined. I joined as a listener. So I was listening to a few shows. And then I finally joined as a host. It was like, you'll be better as a host than a listener, because you'll call in so much to so many people's shows, you'll kind of tend to take over their shows a little bit. But I was like, I don't want to take over nobody's show. So it was like, well, you need to have your own show, and it'll be good. So that's when I just ended up doing the show. It's like, in a matter of time, I just had a show.
Gosh, and you're like, and at your age, that's amazing, you know, that this is available, and that it's just like, because, you know, like, they sent out this thing that you could put the picture of your book or your CD or whatever at the bottom of the page, and then people that are listening or find the archives, they can just kind of take their mouse over it and then find out where to buy it and everything. This was just yesterday that I got this email, and I thought, my gosh, you know, this is pretty amazing.
Right.
You know, I don't understand it, but I'm really, really honored to be part of it. It's just like bringing us all together, isn't it?
It's most definitely. But I was like, this is your show, and understandably, I am your co-host, but let's talk more about your book, because I know there's a lot of people out there that want to hear more about your book, because I saw quite a few, because I've mentioned it to quite a few people in Barnes & Noble when I was in there reading the book. So let's hear more about your book, because I was reading the little pieces from people that were talking about you and the book,
and
it just seems very, very interesting.
Well, you know, I was influenced by Mother Teresa and her sisters. In 1998, I went to Harlem, New York City, to write about her place there. She had a soup kitchen, and so I went to the newspaper, and they said, yeah, they'd like some articles, and for me to go ahead and go. And so I'd never been to Harlem. I'd never been to a soup kitchen, and I really decided, you know, I really don't want to go. I just don't. I mean, I was very, very much a rebel because I was frightened. You know, I didn't really know what to expect. And but I was just amazed when I finally did get there at their love and their just simplicity and their sincerity. And I just stayed with them, and I'm still involved with them. So she was like a huge, huge influence. Not the Catholicism, but her, how do you say it? You walk the talk?
Walk the walk and talk the talk?
Yeah. Exactly, Romali. That's it. She did. And because of that, you know, I was able to really find out that there, you know, that people like her, you know, they're just here to teach us or something. And they are willing to totally die for their purpose because they care so much. And that was Mother Teresa. She was as real as they come. And her sisters, I've had many, you know, moments when actually, you know, it's been some of the hardest times of my life, but also teaching me that kind of humbling, you know what I'm saying? You go in these soup kitchens and these people are so, and you think, my God, you know, they're just so hungry. Can you imagine having to go to a soup kitchen, stand in line and all of this? And so it's just been a real opening for me. And that's
I've done something of the sort too, not meaning to interrupt you. I've done something the same thing, but it's not, it wasn't a soup kitchen. It was more of, we were just going out donating food and making sure people were getting things to eat and having blankets and stuff like that. And I've always participated whenever I was in school. I always participated in, you know, canned food drives and donating clothes. And now I work for Comcast, and a big, huge storm come through here and tore up a couple of cities, and tornadoes ran through there and ran and shit. So my supervisor asked me, you know, who would head up this, you know, project to get clothes and food and supplies for these people. I jumped on. I was like, hey, I'll do it. You know, let me do it. And I sent out the message, let everybody know, you know, we need supplies for these people because, you know, if we was in their position, they'd do the same thing for us. So let's do the same thing for them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just like this circle, and it just keeps coming around and around. And that's what I felt, you know, with Mother Teresa and her sisters. Like, they do things small, you know, with great love. Like, their soup kitchens, maybe they have 100 people compared to some of them with thousands. But, you know, her whole thing was small things with great love. And but I was kind of thinking the other day that when Mother Teresa first started in Calcutta, India, when she picked up this woman who was, her body was eaten up by rats and worms in Calcutta, and she was like on the garbage dumps, and Mother Teresa took her to the hospitals, and they threw her out. They said, she's an untouchable, you know, and they threw Mother and her, this woman that was dying out, and that's what got her to start trying to, you know, find a bed for people to die with dignity. So it was simply that.
And that's hard to even sit there and see, watch a hospital just throw somebody out because of something that already happened to them before they came in. You would think, you know, the way hospitals are built and workers, that they would show enough love and compassion to take these people in and to at least try to give them something, try to give them some hope of surviving out there. Because it's just hard, you know, living out there on the streets and you see it so much and it's just like, oh, my God, you know, what can I do for this person? And, you know, there's plenty of stuff that we could do, I would say, but a lot of people just won't do it because they're scared or they just don't want to do it at all.
That's right. You know, that's what, you know, Mother said, that there's only people homeless because we won't give. which seems so simple, but my thing is, I'm wondering if some people just don't know how to give. You know, maybe it's like they want to give, but they don't know how, and it's kind of overwhelming, right? You know, they walk by a bunch of homeless people, and then what do? And I don't know. You know, I just know that when the compassion hits you, that it's overwhelming, and you really have to do something. You know, it's like, to me, seeing somebody eat out of a garbage can, I just got to a point where I thought, you know what? As if I ever accept that, then something has died in me. And so I really prayed, you know, please don't let me accept seeing people eat out of a garbage can, because that's just not what they should have to do. And so, you know, it's funny because I never understood why I'm kind of on this path, but it's real simple to just kind of want everybody to have a home and food and medical care. Only it's not simple to get it done. So that's where you have to have a lot of faith and be patient, you know. I think Mother Teresa was a very patient person.
She was more than patient. God rest her soul. She was every time you hear on TV, I'm talking about, you know, I made a big deal about watching. Every time they said something about Mother Teresa on television, I made a big deal about watching it.
Did you?
Yes, because Mother Teresa was always out there, and you could, like, one woman that's just out here trying to make things better for everybody. It was like, people can learn from this. I was like, you know, if Mother Teresa was still around now, I believe she'd still be out here now trying to do a lot of things for those hurricane victims that were.
Oh, yeah.
Hurricane Rita and Katrina and the tsunami and all the other stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Mother Teresa would be out here. If anything, Mother Teresa should be the one that the government should have leaned upon the most because, hey, Mother Teresa was just out there. She did that to kind of so hard. She didn't, nobody told her to go out there and do it. She just did it on her own.
On her own. She did. She just followed what she thought was God's will, and she went in, and she was so determined. You know, you would imagine that she had to be because sometimes, you know, her houses were closed down and people would throw garbage in front of her door because they really didn't want to see the homeless people. Mm. And, you know, because you hear about her successes, but there were a lot of times when, you know, a lot of people would have given up. But obviously, you know, not Mother Teresa. She was just like this person with this will of iron. And her one thing was to, you know, get help for the poorest of the poor. And so she lived and died that, and I really feel like her influence has only begun. You know, I think that a lot of people say to me, oh, well, I don't like religion, you know, but really she was beyond that. She was just compassion.
She was really past religion, and it was like Mother Teresa never really brought it up. It was more of the thing about it was Mother Teresa's doing, you know, it was something that she did. Religion may play a part in, you know, the things that she did, but it was her doing, going out there to making sure people had this and had that, and going out there and being compassionate enough to make sure, you know, people had homes and had food, and just going out there and visiting. There was so much that could have been done, and so much that, you know, now that still can be done. It's just like people just are, I don't know if people are afraid, you know, to feel it truly in their heart because, you know, some feel so strong they don't know where it may take them. But I just say go for it.
Yeah, go for it because, you know, like she said, when she picked up the first person off the street, she had no idea she was going to do a missionary of charity or that God wanted it to grow. You know, she just did what her heart was telling her to do, and then she let it go, and the rest was, you know, what she felt was God's will, and she never really planned it out. And a lot of people, you know, they would say things like, I mean, if you go to her houses, like for people that are dying of AIDS that are homeless, they don't have you fill out applications or go through any kind of you know, they just are living in faith. And if you walk in that door and you want to help and you know, you just start helping. And I, you know, that's blind faith to me. And, you know, I was like in Washington, D.C., and I went to this home they have there, Mother has, for men and women too, that are dying of AIDS. And I had never been around women so much that were dying of AIDS, but what I found out was just, I was amazed that I was in the nation's capital, and these people, some of them, they didn't even have medicines, you know, enough pain medicine. And it just really enlightened me to the fact there are very, very much people in need right before our eyes. And some mother and her sisters had taken them in this big house, and they did what they could. And a lot of the people, like, they were like 29, 20 years old. I mean, you know, AIDS at that time, they didn't have the medicines. And so these people were lucky to have a bed. But
right.
So it was a real, it was kind of hard because I really hadn't been around the women, you know, that had been afflicted with AIDS. I'd been around the men in San Francisco. They used to have a house in San Francisco, and now they're in another little place called Pacifica. But they had a house, but it was men. You know, it was all men, and I never really, really saw the women. But, it, you know, it touches everybody. So it's not like it's just particularly men. But, I mean, it's women and children, because I know they have a house in Haiti, a house for babies that are dying of malnutrition.
Right.
And, yeah, and, you know, you think about that, and that's a hard one. But actually, once you get around the sisters and they have great joy, you know, they're always smiling, and it's like, oh, okay, well, that's okay. You know, I'm here and I can do something, and that's what it's all about, you know. But I think you're right. I think it's fair. I really believe you've got it right on the, you know, we don't know what to expect, you know.
Right.
You know,
really
most
don't.
Of us.
most of us are just like we are emotional people at times, and then, you know, at times we are not, and then we're scared to, you know, let our emotions out because of, you know, some people per se want to put it in terms of relationships and things of that nature, where we're looking at it in terms of actually you being you as a person. You know, you have to love yourself before you're able to love somebody else, and, you know, you have to go out there and give that love to someone else, because only those blessings will help you further along in life. And I feel that Mother Teresa, even though those that didn't have any medicine, her going out there to visit them and praying for them and giving them their faith that someone is there for them, gave them, that was their medicine. That would help them survive and stay strong to go out there and continue on just a little bit longer until they just, you know, until they couldn't take it anymore.
You know, that's absolutely right. And that's exactly what I saw, that very thing. You would walk in the door, and the minute you walk in the door of a place with homeless people that are dying, it's like you're their mother, father, sister, and brother. So they're going to take all of their emotions, and you're it, right? And but you're there for that person. So you really are their medicine. That's true. That's absolutely a beautiful way of putting it, because that's, that's right on. That's just right on. And, you know, I think that she just came to remind us that we're here to get, you know, she was always like saying that there were people that would come to her door, you know, at the mother house in India, and because they didn't have medicines there, you know, for the poor people, and the people that had medicines, they would bring their half-used medicines and give them to mother to give to the poor people.
Right.
And mother said there was a little baby that was in their house. They were keeping the little baby, and the little baby was dying, didn't have a family, but the baby needed a certain medicine to stay alive. And she said one night there was a knock on the door, and somebody gave her a basket of medicine, and at the very top of all the bottles of half-used medicines were the pills the baby needed. And so the baby lived. And mother said, you know, I don't know why that, you know, God wanted that particular baby to live, but it was just so obvious that it wasn't, you know, it was meant to be. And, you know, there just aren't answers for things like that. But that little baby did live, so
right.
Amazing, you know.
Like, yeah. I said, Mother Teresa touched us all in small, whether it was a small or big way, had touched us all. And you being around Mother Teresa, she had touched you in a big way, and me just watching Mother Teresa and the news articles that have been about her, I've gotten around to looking at, you know, Mother Teresa was there, and she was just there to, you know, give hope and blessings for those who didn't have it and who was giving up the will to stay strong and determined to stay here. And I was like, you know, I'd rather be a type of person like that, you know, give a person the determination to continue on, you know, continue on into life and not give up, because there's no reason to give up. You know, the medicine may not be there or other things may not be there, but it's always best to just go out there and just still feel like, you know, there's a hope and reason for someone to be out there because someone does love me.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, that's what somebody said to Mother when she picked him up off the street, and she brought him into her house there in Calcutta to die with dignity. And they looked at her, and they said, you know, I lived my life, you know, like an animal in the garbage and so forth. And they said, but now I'm going to die in the arms of an angel. And that's it. You know, they were dying. They were going home with love. And Mother often said that she didn't know how she would have taken it. She might not have been so nice about it, but that's exactly right on, too. You got it, because it was just, it's like she gave that moment of love. And her sisters are really still doing that. They are, you know, I see these young girls, and they just totally want to devote their life to giving service to the poor. And they lead a life that I think most of us would never understand, and it's very austere. But I suppose, you know, when you're really coming from the heart and you're on your path and whatever you do, it's easier, right? You know, you're not really drawn into all the hardships. Like
you look over the hardships as being, you know, something to continue on to make it through, because it only teaches you more, so you can, you know, be able to teach someone else how to get through their hardship and their heartache, because there's so much hardship and heartache on this world now. You know, there's not many people out there to help others to, you know, help get through this, and a lot of them just give up. And I just look at it like, don't ever give up on anything, whether it's, you know, talents and skills you were born with, or the love and appreciation, or the influential nature of your words and your heart. Don't ever give up. Go always out there and be able, if you don't do it, if you do it at least, if you talk to at least one person and you bless them and get a determination to stay strong, I say you have done your duty for the day. Make somebody smile at least once a day, and it's, you know, you have done your justice for today. And that's what that's how I've always been, you know. At least when I go to work, I at least give people hugs and, hey, how you doing? At least, you know, somebody's down. Be like, hey, how you doing? Make them laugh, make them smile. And I'm like, okay, well, they feel better now, you know. And when I was in high school, that's how I was. And a lot of people, that's a lot of reason why a lot of people said they would miss me, is because when I got out of school, they was like, well, I'm going to miss you. It's like, because every day you used to give me a hug and be like, hey, how you doing? Are you okay? How's everything going? And it just made people's day better. And it was just like, I was having a bad day, and you just made my day so much better, and I just been able to get through the day. And I was like, yeah, people should just be able to do that, whether it's, you know, your own children or friends or family. Go out there and just, you know, turn one person's day around, and that only counts blessings upon yourself, as if you can do that. And people can do that, they just won't.
They can, yeah, and when they get out of themselves and think about the other person, because kind of like if you're into their space, you're not afraid, you know, you're not thinking about your own stuff. You're thinking about what they're... I know there was a young girl, man, she was like 23 years old, and she was at Mother Teresa's in Washington, D.C., and she was homeless. They found her in the snow, and she was in a wheelchair. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. It was like she had been in the emergency room of a hospital there in Washington, D.C., and the nurses gave her a prescription. Well, this woman was illiterate, right, so she couldn't even read. And so she went out. They turned her out. They put her out in the snowstorm. So there she was in a wheelchair, and I don't know how Mother's sisters found her or anything, but, you know, it's amazing, because she actually was like, she was so happy, and her spirit was so high. So she was actually there helping the other women that were more depressed or whatever. And I thought, man, you know, here she is. They found her in the snow. Oh, gosh. You know, you forget immediately about any hardships you've had. I mean, this is nothing compared to, and but she actually was just making everybody really happy. So
I guess I wouldn't say it's a vibe. I say it's your whole aura. You know, people to be like, I was like, you know, when you see a person, you can, if you just stand back and just look at them, there's always this glow around certain people. And depending on how bright their glow is how influential you are. And, you know, you can go out there and you can walk past somebody and be like, hey, mm-hmm. how you doing? You know, and they'll get mm-hmm. to smile at me, like, and then their day just get better for no apparent reason. And a mm-hmm. lot of people, and I've done that at work so many times, just walk by and mm-hmm. just be like, hey, how you doing? Just, you know, run up on somebody, hey, how you doing? You doing okay? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I'm doing fine. And they just go better. You see them the next time, they just run around smiling, and then they'll come back and be like, thank you. I'm like, what's, you know, what are you thanking me for? They was like, well, you know, you came by, you gave me a hug, and said, hey, how you doing? You know, nobody had said anything to me all day, and I was just feeling kind of bad today. It's just like those little things just make you forget about everything. And, like, people have always done me like that, older people, friends, my grandmother, mm-hmm. my mom, family, everybody has always done me like that. Whenever you're feeling bad, they're just like, hey, how you doing? Just calling, how you doing? Or saying, hey, it just makes your day better. It just makes you forget about all the stress and all the hardship and stuff that's going on. It just makes you just feel that much better on the inside. It puts you on easy street.
That's a good way to put it. It actually does. You know, you're making somebody else's whole day better just by, yeah, you know, I think sometimes about the homeless, like if you can't, you know, if you don't have anything to give or you don't know how or whatever, but if you acknowledge people, you know, just look and say, hi, how are you? I mean, that can really make a person's day that's sitting out there on the street and they're just like, oh, you know, somebody knows I'm here, right? And,
right.
So, you know, just looking over and saying, how are you? And mostly it's just saying, I care that you're my brother, or you're my sister, and how are you? And, you know, I think that people just, it's like overwhelming, especially, it depends on where you are. I mean, if you're in a big city, I mean, even Washington, D.C., it's amazing. You know, people sleep outside in the snow. They sleep on the grates or whatever you call them to get a little bit of heat. But, I mean,
right.
I can't imagine. How do they look? But they just put on a lot of clothes and all that. And, you know, I just got the feeling that if we can just look at people and say, hi, how are you? You know, it's like, oh, okay. They can
right.
make it through the night.
Right. And there's so many, there's a lot of things that can be done. And it's like there's a lot of ideas out there. And people look at it, it's like, well, if this taxpayers' money going to waste? No, it's not. I said, if we were just to take one big, huge building, like an abandoned building or whatever, fix it up, and, you know, like how we do with the shelters and whatnot, and make it one
mm-hmm.
big, huge shelter, take one big apartment complex and make it a big, huge shelter for homeless people. That way they're able to get on their feet, get jobs, get back into, you know, real life and be able to, you know, go on and stay strong. And because they're out here on the street and no one's going to help them, and it's like, it's hard for them to get help from somebody because no one wants to help. And it's like, you see people eating out of garbage cans, especially
yeah.
when I watch Law & Order. That's one of my favorite shows, and I watch every
uh-huh.
different version of Law & Order. And you just see it every time you see it on Law & Order. It's like, even though it isn't a show about acting and, you know, the shows are fictional, sometimes based on true stories, I just look mm-hmm. and be like, oh, my God, all these homeless people, and then they'll have every once in a while, they have a story about a homeless murder or something of the sort,
oh, yeah.
or somebody out there going out there killing homeless people. And it was like, and it just depresses you a little bit. And I'd just be like, and I'd be sitting there trying to solve the case before they do, because it was like, that's ridiculous. Why waste the time, you know, going out there and killing those who have a purpose in life, who just doesn't have that hope and determination to go out there and to continue on to reach that goal, but you just
yeah.
want to stop them in their tracks.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, how petty are you?
Yeah, yeah, like they just somehow just can't quite, that's it, you know, they can't get up and go on. There's something that they're just too tired, or they've kind of given up, and, you know, everybody has a different kind of persona, and some people keep on, and then other people just can't go on anymore. And, yeah, you know, you can kind of understand that it's all in the person's personality. So you can't expect everyone just to be able to keep on and on and on.
Right.
They're not able. And so that's where you and I, you know, I think in people that are walking by and they know that just by saying hi, because actually, you know, from what I've heard and read about, their lives are very short, and there are a lot of murders. People just take it out on the homeless, you know. I don't know why. And so they may not make it through the night. You might be the last person that said, hi, how are you?
Right.
And, yeah, you know, and that's very important to me that, I mean, I know you can't recognize everybody. You don't have, you know, we're human too, and we got to do our own thing, and I know that. But I also think, just looking over, you know, hey there, how are you doing? And even if you have nothing to give them, that's okay. You can give them a smile, like you said, like you do at work, and that can make your whole day. That
it really
can change
can.
Everything.
And it's like there's been times where I've had food, and I'm like, you know, and I see some guy on the street, and it's like, I'm not about to eat all this food. And I order like $8, $9 worth of food from McDonald's. Hey, I have a big appetite, so I have to eat. And I was like, I'm not going to eat all this. And I see somebody, I'm like, here, you know, here's something to eat. And it was, oh, thank you, you know, you don't have to. No, take it, please, because it's only right that you have, just because I have something and you don't have anything doesn't mean I shouldn't give back. You know, let me give this to you so you can at least have something for yourself. And they take it and just like, oh, my God. And it's just like they just cry. You know, you see those tears come to a person's eyes.
I know.
Like, you just made a person's day. And I was like, people are just scared to give because they think, you know, homeless people are going to go buy beer and booze and things of that nature. Okay. And I tell people all the time, if you don't want to give them money, fine. Don't give them no money. Buy them a pair of pants,
or
something like that.
Yeah.
And just give it to them, or just give them the address to the nearest shelter or something like that, you know, just so
that's
they can
get it. Yeah. You can give what you can give. And they're really appreciative. And, yeah, if you can, you know, buy a pair of pants or give a pair of pants you got at home, or that's it, yeah, just some little something. And that way they can keep going, and they may need those pants that night. It may be cold, and they're able,
right,
you know, to stay a little bit warmer. And, you know, I often have said that the homeless are actually the saints in the making, because they put up with you and I walking by and not seeing them. And in the long run, and I do believe they're going to prove to be the saints, because if you think about how hard that would be for them to just be, you know, like they think, well, that person will care, I know that part, because they're just not able to get up, right, you know, for whatever reason. And so, yeah, I call them the saints in the making. I think that's, you know, there's a lot of, like in motels and stuff, they say don't give money to the homeless and all this kind of stuff.
I kind of look at those as like if I was in the zoo and it said don't feed the bears or something. I was like,
that's
kind of evil.
That's
I
right.
was like, you can't be like that. I was like, sometimes you just have to.
Yeah, it's like crazy, right? Don't feed the bears. But I mean, it's kind of like that. And of course, a lot of people don't know. They come over to another country and they're going, oh, okay. What? Why shouldn't I? Or but if they're told not to, you know, that's understandable that they wouldn't. I know, you know, Mother Teresa, she just wouldn't take no. I mean, if she wanted something for the homeless. But the main thing I noticed as well is that she would just kind of pray, and then if it didn't happen, whatever she needed for the homeless or the poor, you know, she accepted it. She went on. She didn't get involved in the legalities and all that. She just went on. And I thought, wow, that's a great way to be, because, you know, life goes on, and there's another door, and she never got hung up in legalities or lawsuits or any of that kind of thing. She'd just say, well, it wasn't God's will, and she'd go on. And I thought, gee, that would be a great way to be, you know, just wasn't God's will, and just go on. And
believe me, and to be perfectly honest, if I had to give Mother Teresa a nickname, she was, you know, we always say we wanted something. When you see those Miss America contests or anything, they ask them, you want, you know, as Miss America, what do you want to prove? You know, I want world peace. I call Mother Teresa the walking world peace. That's what she was.
That's what she was, yeah. She was a walking world peace, and she wanted to die on her feet, and she pretty well did. You know, she never sat down too much. And when she prayed on her knees on a hard floor, so she lived that life. And, Yeah, she was it in action. She was really it in action. And I think, God, you know, just to do one little thing like that would be great. I'm glad I went ahead and, you know, went to Harlem and went beyond what I really wanted to do, which was something else, totally something else. And a lot of times, I mean, why would someone want to go into and just, you know, see the poorest of the poor? Well, mostly we wouldn't, but there's great, great benefits in doing it. I mean, it changes your life, and I really can't put it into words.
Like,
but
some of us don't have some of us don't have all this stuff, and you know, sometimes we probably never will get those things. And it's like when I was younger, as I was growing up, you know,
mm-hmm.
my parents may have took me back and forth to school, but at times, you know, I got independent, got on my own, and I used to ride the bus back and forth, so I used to walk
uh-huh.
home. And I was always that way, ride the bus or walk back and
uh-huh.
forth to work, you know. And when I finally moved to Nashville, I got my own car, and it's like I still, you know, people like, well, you know, I need your help, you know, can you take me for
mm-hmm.
a ride? You know, maybe if I have the gas or if I have the money or something like that, sure, you know, I'm coming
yeah.
here, taking where they need to be, you know. And I look at it, it's like these people never have all this stuff, you know. Give what you can when you can, you know, because people are not always going to have everything for themselves. And I feel like, you know, if a person can have everything for themselves, at least treat them that one day as if they did, you know, because that always just looks good upon yourself and everyone else. And I was just like, well, I say this one thing to everybody out there, you know, give your heart to yourself and to everyone out there, because you're only going to bless those who you bless. And it's like those blessings come back upon you because you help someone. And believe
mm-hmm.
me, people be like, well, helping somebody is not going to do anything. Oh, yes, it will.
It will. Yeah.
Like, it always does. I would say you may not get it immediately. You may not get it, you know, next week, next year, but it comes. And then that looks good upon you because you're willing to go out there and you're willing to help people regardless. Now, I've always been that way, always willing to help somebody. I've always had that big heart. And my mom's like, you have such a big heart, and you're always willing to help somebody. I was willing to go do something for somebody. And, you know, and my mom's like, you know, I don't think someone's taking advantage of you. No, I don't think no one's taking advantage of me. I just have a big
mm-hmm.
heart. I like helping people to make sure that they're able to enjoy life or get what they need. Okay, they may not need it, but, hey, it makes them happy. Let them, you know, they'll just do. They will come around to reality and be like, okay, I don't need this. I do thank the person for helping me get this. It's only fair. And I just feel that way, you know, everybody should be able to go out there and just give a little bit. You know, you ain't got to
a little bit, whatever they
can,
you know, there, whatever there is within their means to give, and whatever that is, you know, that's, it will come back. I mean, people may not see it right now, like you said, but they, you know, it does come right around. It's that circle of life, because if you put out that love, you know, the universe is going to bring it back. And if you put out the other, the universe is kind of going to bring it back. And that's what Danian Brinkley said, that he was just so mean, and he killed people when he was in the war. And, you know, he doesn't know why he was struck by the lightning and so forth, but that he had a lot to do on this earth, you know, to make up for all the bad things he did. And he was humbled. You know, he saw that he really had some bad things. And I think that's good, you know, in a way, because it gets you going and makes you want to, you know, get better, which isn't a bad thing.
Oh, no,
you know,
it's not at all.
It's not a bad thing to see the reality of who you are. I think, you know, Mother Teresa said, if you ever see who you really are, that you get on your knees. You really get on your knees. Because, you know, when I first started going to her places, I said to myself, why do they have those big locks on the door? If they're so much in faith, why do they have those big locks on their doors? And one day it kind of came to me that they know themselves. You know, they know what they're capable of. And so they knew that they needed the locks. I don't know if that's making sense or not, but it was kind of like knowing who you really are. And, like, we're all capable of the best. We're all capable of the worst. But you know, they're very practical in some way, because they know if there's no locks on the door, people are just going to come in, you know, and they're going to try to do, and they can't deal with that. They're human, you know, and so I learned a lot. I kind of was enlightened to the fact that I have to really, I know Ray Charles said, if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else will, and I think, yeah, that's true. You know, Ray Charles had a really hard, you know, upbringing. I mean, he was blind, and yet he went through all this stuff, and he still shared all his music. And but he was very, very much down to earth in that you take care, you know, you go ahead and you take care of yourself, right? You put the lock on the door or whatever, and then you have more to give, if that makes sense. But
it does. It makes perfect sense. You have to, you know, like what you mean by putting the locks on the doors. You know, I've been around a few churches who are open. You know, it's like they open the churches like, you know, there's nothing in here for you to steal. You know, people just take it as being like that. There's nothing here to steal. This is a church. This is an open sanctuary for you to come in, for you to find yourself, and for you to pray and, you know, count your blessings. But I put it like this, you know, people should not ever, and I mean should not ever, you know, feel like, you know, you're locked out of somewhere, because there's the open door is always somewhere. It's always somewhere. And the door never be closed to you unless you close the door yourself. So
that's right. And there has to be that open door to keep the heart. Yeah, I wrote this poem called The Key, and it's pretty much says that, you know, like the homeless people don't have a key, and they do all of their stuff on the street. You know, they're crazy and everything else. But we do ours behind closed doors because we have a key. But if we don't help those without a key, will we come back in the next life without a key? You know, it just kind of dawned on me, like, because we do the same things as everybody else. We just have a door, and that's what they don't have. They don't have a key. They got to do it right there, you know, like you're walking past their home. You know, when you're walking past somebody on the street, that's their little home, that grocery cart or those boxes or, you know, whatever they have. Right. And I have great respect for that.
So, and I tell everybody, you know, don't tread hatred where it's not meant to be, because it's only going to follow your footsteps back to you. So I per se tell everyone, you know, always be willing to be open to everybody and everything, and always be loving to one another. Because if you're loving to one another, that hatred just finds itself to have to go somewhere else. And hatred and love are two individual people. But love is always going to walk beside you no matter what, and hatred is just going to be there just because, you know, hey, he knows it's there, and, you know, I can get away with it this time, you know, maybe not next time, but I can get away with it this time. But, you know, you should not let it get away with it, period, at all. So, but I have to say, you know, love everybody and love yourself. You must love yourself always. And I say this to everybody. And I know, you know, Judy Joy Jones and Mother Teresa, you know, helps you out a lot for being around her and help write that book. And I tell everybody out there, please go get that book. It is good. Aww. You can find it in Barnes & Noble. I've read bits and pieces of it. When I get a chance to and I go back, I want to buy the book myself. So I'm going to try to get a chance to send it out there to you so I can get an autograph, because I know that book is very good. And everybody out there, please go get that book. It is called the hold on, let me make sure I get this right, because I don't want to say it wrong. It is called The Bones of the Homeless by Judy Joy Jones. Believe me, Barnes & Noble know what you're talking about. Check out the book. It's pretty good. Make sure you have an open mind to that book, because it's only going to speak so much of Judy Joy Jones and Mother Teresa. Though Mother Teresa is not here with us anymore, it goes to show you how much she actually gave to this earth and to our people.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much going on right now that Mother Teresa could be
here
and things could be a whole lot better.
Yeah, you know, she was always calling the prisons and begging the people, don't kill the prisoners, you know, like they would have an execution coming up. And she'd say, don't do that. You know, it's not God's will that you kill people. And she would always try to call at the last minute to try to get them to open their heart. And she was doing that to the very end of her life because
right.
she felt so strongly that, you know, God carved this out of the palm of the hand and that we are precious. And she really believed this so deeply that she was trying to tell people, you know, please, you know, don't kill people. And you're right, you know, if she was here during all these wars and stuff that are going on now, I know she was always going over to war-torn zones, and she would try to, there was one that, I think that movie was made about her, Mother Teresa, and she was, like, talking to priests about going over to war-torn zones somewhere, because there were some children that were physically challenged, and they were really, you know, they were going to die because it was bombing Beirut.
Mm-hmm.
And the priest said, oh, Mother, you can't go over there. It's bombing. And she said, but Father, it's our duty. And she did.
Right.
She said, well, I'll pray that the bombing will stop. And it did stop. And she did go over there, and she got a bunch of the children, and she brought them to safety. Because I just feel like, you know, when there's enough suffering, that there's got to be that love that comes in and says, that's enough. And she was it for that particular moment.
That's
sometimes.
True. But Judy Joy Jones, I hate to be on the run. I hate to
right.
go. But my show is about to start in just a little
okay.
bit. So I need to get on my end. But I do thank you. And everybody, like
aww.
I said, the Bones of the Homeless. Please go get the book. It is good. It is something that you, it's a must read. Keep it in your collection always. And I know Judy Joy Jones does not mind having you provide her with the address so she can autograph it for you and leave a little personal message, because believe me, it's been a personal message throughout that whole entire book. And Judy Joy Jones, I feel honored, and I do thank you. I appreciate it
thank
for
you,
letting me
nice.
Be able to be your co-host on your show
aww.
Tonight, but I do thank you so much. And
thank
believe
you
me,
so much. And we'll listen. You're gonna start your show right away, right?
Yeah, I'm be here shortly in just a second. So I'm probably gonna come in just to make a few little announcements.
All right.
And play a little music, and I'm gonna come back so I can get ready for the show.
Thank
but it's
you.
Just it's relaxed day for us today because it's just the end of the weekend, so I'm really not doing
yeah.
anything heavy onto the show. So, but
thank
I do
so
thank
much,
you
real knowledge. We'll be listening to you.
Okay.
Take
thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye. I really want to thank Real Knowledge for coming in tonight and being part of the show. And if you have a chance, just go ahead. His show is Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio at Real, R, capital E, capital R-E-A-L, dash, Knowledge, K, capital K-N-O-W, L-A-D-G-E. He's just incredible. If you can believe that he's only 20 years old, I can't. He's just amazing, and I hope you'll listen to his show. And I thank you for being part of this show. I really hope that everyone out there continues with Blog Talk Radio. They are truly making us move on into our interplanetarian homes. We are one world, one people, and Blog Talk Radio, we love you. Thank you so much, and y'all have a great evening.